in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Would to God you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I've espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Looking through this, number of things I want to comment on before we come really to what we're going to deal with this morning. First, he said, if one comes and preaches another Jesus, or you receive another spirit, or they preach another gospel which you've not accepted, you might well bear with them. And he's telling this Corinthian church that they would probably listen if somebody came preaching another Jesus. They'd put up with it. They'd be long-suffering. They would endure it and possibly receive it and possibly believe it. But he said, you would well bear with him if a false teacher came, if a false apostle came, because that's exactly what he was dealing with in the 13th verse down below. He said, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And those were those that would come and were teaching another Jesus. And really, they would deny that it's another Jesus, but I'm persuaded that another Jesus is being preached today in the modern church. It's a Jesus that came to take our penalty and leave us in sin, rather than the Jesus who came, died on the cross to take away our sin, that we would go free. Another Jesus, another gospel. That is another gospel. And certainly many have received another spirit, and that which was poured out on the day of Pentecost so many hundreds of years ago. But he speaks of also about our minds, his fear that the minds of the people would be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And I truly believe, I believe this with all my heart, that just recently, in fact, for me as a minister, been preaching over 50 years now, that it's been in the last 3 years that I've come to truly understand the simplicity that's in Christ. I told you about the lady years ago. I was advertising, just preaching the simple gospel. She bragged and boasted about, oh, how I love this simple gospel. She was in one of her tent revivals in Atlanta. She said, so simple, this simple gospel. She said, it's so simple, said, can't nobody understand it. And it took me a while to understand that I probably was not preaching the simple gospel if nobody could understand it. And after I began 25 years ago seeking the answer for the sin problem that's in the heart of man, it wasn't but about 2 years that I came to the truth that made me free. And yet, for years, I believed, well, you know, I have that truth that'll make people free, but it'd take me years to teach it. Well, that's not the simplicity of Christ. And I do believe that God has opened our eyes and shown the light of the simplicity of Christ into our hearts. And I truly believe that it's in those four things that we speak about, to know who Christ is, to know what He came into the world to do, to know that Jesus is the Christ and He did it all when He died on the cross for us. And the fourth thing is simply believe that truth and put your trust in Him. He will work it in you. Without your struggles, without your great labors and efforts of trying to change yourself, He'll do it in you. The simplicity that was in Christ. But this church was being taken away from the simplicity that's in Christ, and sin had revived in that church. Later on, in this same chapter, he talks about that when he comes to bewail those who have already sinned and committed fornications and lasciviousness and adulteries and so on, things that were coming into that church because the simplicity of Christ who died to take away our sin was taken from them. And I don't know exactly what it was that was being taught in that day, but I do know that Jude said that they turned the grace of our God into lasciviousness. So Paul is concerned about their minds being corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ by the false teachers and the false apostles that were deceitful workers that had come into the church in his absence. He was not there. He was absent. He's writing this letter because of these things. And they're teaching another Jesus, another gospel, another spirit is being received in that church. He writes this letter and he says in the first verse, the 11th chapter, he writes, I would to God that you'd bear with me a little in my folly. And indeed, bear with me. Well, what I'm going to preach about this morning is his folly. The folly that he's talking about. For he said, because I'm jealous over you. And that's the reason that I'm indulging in this folly that I'm going to indulge in. The reason I ask you to listen to me, to bear with me, to hear what I say. Because if they came and preached another Jesus, you'd bear with them. If they preached another gospel, you'd bear with them. Bear with me in my folly. Listen to what I've got to say to you. And he said, because, and this is a reason that I'm going to indulge in some folly. He said, for I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I've espoused you to one husband that I might present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But a fear, lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds would be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. The folly of the Apostle Paul. What was his folly? His folly is he's indulging in this 10th and 11th and 12th chapters. In the 10th chapter, he said, now I, Paul, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent or bold toward you. His folly, he goes to the 8th verse. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord has given us for edification, not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. But it might not seem that as I would terrify you by letters, for his letters say they. Who are they? They are the deceitful workers, the false teachers, the false apostles that were teaching another Jesus, another gospel, and bringing another spirit into the church. And they say his bodily presence is weak, his speech is contemptible. They were doing everything they could to turn the church and the people away from the Apostle Paul, the one that had brought Christ to them, that had preached the gospel to them, but through innuendo and lies and deceit and many different things, they were seeking to turn the people away from the Apostle Paul. And they were possibly very eloquent men, very powerful men in personalities and so forth, which is very often the case of those that can lead the people in mass away from the truth to some other thing, eloquence and through such things. But nevertheless, Paul says, I'm going to practice some folly. I'm going to brag a little bit about myself. And that's what his folly is. When he uses the word, he says here, I boast, though I should boast somewhat of our authority. He comes on down, he begins to speak, 13th verse, but we will not boast of things beyond our measure, brag about things beyond our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God has distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. Not boasting, 15th verse, of things without our measure, that is of other men's labors. I'm not going to brag on something that Peter did. I'm not going to brag on something that other apostles did. But only those things that God has wrought through the Apostle Paul himself. And he felt forced into this bragging, which he said, I'm a fool to do it. I'm a fool to do it. I've told you so many times that the worst enemy that a man of God has is the person that tells them how great they are. and what a good work they did, or how good they did in anything that God did through them, because it was not that person. If anything was accomplished for the kingdom of Christ, it was Christ who did it by the working of the Holy Ghost in that man of God. And to tell that man of God how great he is to seek to destroy that man of God. That's the reason that Paul says, I'm a fool to boast. But he said, receive me as a fool, because they are turning him aside to listen to another gospel, to hear another Jesus preached, and to actually even to receive another spirit in that church. And it became a very unclean church filled with sin. Obviously, the incident in the 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the man that was living with his father's wife was not just one incident, because he speaks in the 21st verse of the 12th chapter. He said, lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, that I shall bewail many, or grieve over, mourn over many, which have sinned already, have not repented of the uncleanness, fornication, and lasciviousness which they have committed. And so it was at work in the church, because another Jesus was being preached, because the simplicity of Christ was lost. It was lost to the people. And they were given a philosophy or something else that could not work to make them clean and pure inside, which is the only salvation of God. Okay. But he said, not boasting of things without a measure, not going to brag about what others have done. He said, 17th verse, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. This is the same Greek word as translated boasteth. It means to boast. When you read through this setting, you read that word glory. Glory in the Lord. Boast in the Lord. Brag on Jesus. If you want to brag, he says brag on Jesus. Is that all right? Just to brag on Jesus. Brag on Christ. Brag on great things God has done. Brag on those things. He that braggeth, let him brag in the Lord. For it's not he that commendeth himself that's approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. And he's doing this based on the fact that the false apostles, the deceitful workers, are bragging on themselves, lifting themselves up, casting the apostle down. And so you forced me to enter in to indulge myself in a folly. And I'm a fool to do it, but to brag a little bit about myself. Now, we seek to come to a different end of this thing rather than just the bragging. But he said, bear with me a little of my folly. He's talking about my boasting, my bragging. Not going to brag about things beyond our measure, but only those things which God has wrought through us and so forth. He comes on down through the Scriptures. We'll come on down to the 13th verse when he comes right to the heart of matter. Such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool, but if you do, if otherwise, yet as a fool, receive me. If you think I'm a fool, receive me as a fool. Listen to what I've got to say, that I may boast myself a little, or brag on myself a little. And certainly, he confessed that he was a fool to do so. But he said, you forced me. That which I speak it, not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting, of bragging. Seeing that many glory or boast or brag after the flesh, I will glory also. I'm going to indulge in what they do. He says, for you suffer fools gladly, seeing yourselves are wise. And he's putting a little number on them here. Seeing you're so great and wise, you can put up with me, a fool, you know, for just a little while. Just put up with me. Bear with me through this folly. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage. Now that word suffer doesn't mean suffer pain, but it means that you put up with it. You bear with it. That's what this word suffer means. Suffer with me, you know, bear with me. And so he said, you suffer, fools, glad to defend yourself. For you suffer. If a man brings you into bondage, you put up with it. They're bringing you into bondage. You don't know you're in bondage, but you're in bondage. If a man devour you, you suffer. You put up with it. You bear it with it. They're devouring you. They're destroying you. And you're putting up with it. If a man take of you, they'll rob you blind. Take everything you've got. And you think you're blessed to give it to them. And just bring it right down to the realities. If a man exalt himself, you put up with it. You listen to a man exalt himself and go away. Oh, what a great man this is. And all the time he's just bragging on himself. Whether it's true or not true, just bragging on himself. But if a man smites you on the face, you've even learned to turn the other cheek, you know, and you put up with it. You bear with it. And in that he's commended them. But he continues on, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak, as though we had been weak, speaking of himself. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly. Here's where he starts his bragging. I am bold also. If they're bold, look at me. I'm bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Now these are two things that over in Philippians, he said, those things I thought were gain to me. That I was a Hebrew, the stock of Israel. I thought that was great gain to me. I thought that really made me to be somebody. But I found out that those things that I thought were gain to me were just dung. Along with his Phariseeism and tribe of Benjamin and all these different things that he thought was great gain to him was dung. He said, but are they Hebrews? I'm a Hebrew. Are they Israelites? So what? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? Princes, I speak as a fool. Of course they're not. I speak as a fool to even ask the question, are they ministers of Christ? You've received them as ministers of Christ, but I speak as a fool to even ask the question, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundantly. He's bragging on himself. He said, I'm a fool to do it, but you forced me. He says, in stripes, more above measure. In prisons, more frequent. I've been beaten far more than they've been beaten. I've been in prison more times than they've been in prison. Don't know if they've ever been in prison or not. But in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. He's comparing himself to these eloquent, wise, false apostles, false teachers, deceitful workers that the church was receiving. Receiving their gospel, receiving their message, receiving their Jesus, and receiving another spirit. And when he begins to brag, notice, labors more abundant in stripes. How many times I've been beaten for the gospel, preaching the gospel of Christ. In prisons, how many times I've been cast into prison to preach the gospel of Christ. In deaths oft. Well, I know one time they stoned him and left him from the dead. I know another time he feared of his own life. And I tend to believe that in Ephesus they cast into the lions. Because he said, but the Lord delivered me. I feared for my own life, but the Lord delivered me from the lion's mouth. How many times they would have killed him and slain him, but the Lord delivered him. In deaths often of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. He's bragging. He's boasting. And how many times they beat him with whips? 3 times I was beaten with rods. He's bragging. Once I was stoned and they left him for dead outside the walls of the city. You remember the disciples gathered around and God raised him up and he went on to preach the gospel again. But once I was stoned, 3 times I suffered shipwreck. We read of one shipwreck. You know, there at the island of Crete and how horrible that was, that experience. But three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I've spent in the deep. That's 24 hours out in the stormy sea, hanging on to a plank of the ship that was broken up. 24 hours, a night and a day in the deep. And he's bragging about the things that he suffered in preaching the gospel, in carrying that gospel, things that have come upon him. In journeyings, often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils of false brethren. Why doesn't somebody write the perils of Paul instead of the perils of Pauline? But the perils, all the things that the man suffered in bringing the gospel to the people, and weariness and painfulness. Have you ever, Keith, been so weary that you felt like you couldn't even get up and preach? In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often. And fastings is something different than hunger and thirst. Fasting he chose to do without food. In hungerings, he didn't have no food to eat. He didn't want to fast. But he was in hungerings and thirstings and fastings often, in cold and in nakedness. He's going back recovering some of those things, shipwreck and day and night in the deep. And all the different things, nothing to eat, nothing to drink. And I don't know where all these things happened, but I can see much of it. But nevertheless, beside those things that are without, all those things without, things that I've had no control over whatsoever, but that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. I came in yesterday. I told Sister Surface, I think I'm beginning to understand what Paul meant, on top of being beaten with whips, beat with rods, on top of everything else he suffered, besides that was out, that I don't have nothing I can do about, that which is then the care of all the churches. I could do something about that. I could walk off and they wouldn't beat me no more. And they wouldn't whip me no more. They wouldn't throw rocks at me no more. And they wouldn't throw me in prison no more. If I just walk off and forget about the churches, that's the one thing I could do something about. But no, I can't. Because God is committed to me to be faithful to that heavenly calling. So, not only that which is on the outside, but he said, but that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He's not in Corinth, but he still cares for Corinth. He's still weeping and grieving and praying and mourning over the condition of Corinth. And daily the care of all the churches. He can't be in but one place at a time. But he says, who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? Such is the love of this man for the churches. Some of the churches which are turning away from him, speaking against him, rejecting the simplicity of Christ for other gospels and other Jesuses and other spirits from false apostles. And yet, he cares for them. If I must needs glory, I'll glory. If I must needs brag, I'll brag on the things which concern mine infirmities. That's what he's just been a-doing. The things that are upon me because of my weakness. Because of my weaknesses, not because of my strengths, but because of my weaknesses. You say, preacher, they don't make no sense. No, they could beat him with whips. They could beat him with rods. They could stone him and leave him for dead. They could cast him in prison. In his weakness, they could do that. They could do that to him. Jesus, look at 2 Corinthians 13 and 4, talking about Jesus. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. There's something about that weakness that the Lord has been leading me to for several months, in fact. I haven't fully comprehended or seen, but I begin to understand, I do believe, that though He were crucified through weakness, He never opened His mouth. He could have called for the 12 legions of angels. He could have called for them to deliver Him, that this thing not happen to Him. But how then shall the Scripture be fulfilled? It can only be fulfilled not in His strength, but in His weakness. It is crucified in weakness. I saw that years ago. What on earth is Paul trying to say that He's crucified through weakness? He lay His life down, and yet they were able to beat Him with whips, beat His face and body beyond recognition, pluck His beard, spit upon Him, smite Him in the face, nail Him to the cross, mock Him. They were able to do all of these things through His weakness. But I've got to go back just a little bit and go back to the 25th verse of 1 Corinthians 1, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And everything the strength of men could do to Jesus, His weakness was greater. His weakness was greater. Through death, He destroyed He that had the power of death, that is the devil. And He did it not through His strength, but through His weakness. He destroyed the devil through His weakness. Think how great His strength. How great His strength. If through His weakness He delivered us from sin, through His weakness He destroyed the devil, through His weakness He triumphed over principalities and powers. Hallelujah. Through His weakness. Consider then when He says, "My strength is made perfect in your weakness." Praise God. Coming back to this 2 Corinthians, and notice, if I'm going to brag, I'm going to brag about things which concern my infirmities, not weakness. I couldn't stop them from beating with whips. I could have stopped preaching the gospel, but I'm not going to do that. You know? But I couldn't stop them from beating me with rods. I couldn't stop them from stoning me to death. If He could have stopped them, He'd have stopped them. But He couldn't stop them. So He's glorying of things that concern my infirmities, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artemas the king kept the city of Damascus with a garrison desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. I didn't face up to him in my strength. In my weakness, I escaped over the wall. And this was the beginning of it all. But he began to suffer so many things. So many things. And he said, that's what I brag about. And then in the 12th chapter, he says, it's not expedient for me doubtless to glory, to brag. It's not good for me to brag. It's not the best thing that I'm doing for me to brag. But I'm going to tell you about some visions and revelations of the Lord. He said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. He's speaking about himself. An experience that he'd received about 14 years ago. I believe with all my heart that this is where he received the revelation of Jesus Christ. That revelation above all revelations that was given to him within 3 years of his conversion. As he conferred not with flesh and blood, but all that the Lord taught him. Caught him up to the third heavens and taught him. He said, I heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. He said, everything I heard, said they'll try to kill me for it because it's contrary to the law of Moses. Unlawful to utter. Not by God. God said, go tell it to everybody. Go preach it to all the world. Carry the message to the Gentiles. And the Jew says he's speaking unlawful words everywhere he goes, things against the law of Moses. So I heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. And of such an one will I glory, I'll brag. But of myself I will not brag, but in my infirmities. It sounds like he's talking about somebody else, but no, he's talking about himself, caught up. caught up in hearing and receiving the revelation of Jesus Christ. But I'll brag in mine infirmities, for though I would desire to brag, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear. That forbear means that I'm going to stop bragging. I'm going to stop bragging. I've bragged enough. I'm going to stop bragging. I told you about the things I've suffered for Christ, to preach the gospel. I've told you about the great revelation that He gave me in the third heavens. Whether I was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. But I was caught up to the third heavens. And there I heard such words. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. That's that revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, let me tell you what the gospel will do for those that humble themselves and believe it. It'll lift them up. It'll exalt them. People, lost people, unbelievers, they're terrified of just simply surrendering to Jesus and believing the gospel because I'm going to lose everything if I do that. No, you're not. You're going to gain everything if you do that. But I'm going to be miserable because I can't do the things I love to do no more. You won't be loving to do those things no more. Amen. You'll be loving different things. Praise God. Things that are pure and clean and wholesome and good. Praise the Lord. He's not going to take life away from you. He's going to give you life. Praise God. As He's going to give you life, and that more abundantly. Paul says, though I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. Some people teach that the apostle had a sin problem, had a secret sin problem, probably a lust. Well, that's not true. Oh, no, that's not true. And some people teach that he was given to self-exaltation. Well, he practiced just a little bit of it here, bragged in how much he had suffered through his weakness. He couldn't do nothing about it. He said, if I'm going to brag on anything, I'm going to brag on that. And I've found that a man of God, rather than bragging about all the great things, they're better off to brag about their failures, their weaknesses, not their sins, not their sins. He's taken sin away. Oh, no, no, no. There's no sin to brag about. If you do brag about it, you're not saved. I've seen people that look back on their past life and bragged about it till they wish they were still there. And in their heart, they still are there. You know, He takes it away. Praise God, how tough and mean you was. And a guy told me one time, said, if I wasn't saved, I'd stomp you in the ground. He told me that. I thank God he thought he was saved. Hallelujah. Well, all I did was tell his wife she's devil-possessed and kind of upset the guy. But nevertheless, the woman is devil-possessed. She needed help. She needed help. Bad help. Or good helpers. You know, she needed help. Praise the Lord. But though it should be exalted at measure through the abundance of the revelation. Someone said, well, that guy knows so much and it's exalted him so much that, you know, he's just not worth a flip because he's just self-exalted. I'm going to tell you, the gospel of Christ, the truth, the simplicity of the gospel of Christ does not exalt you in yourself. The gospel of Christ in its simplicity is humiliating. Hallelujah. But it's all about Him and none about me. Praise God. You hear what I'm saying to you. And while you're free from sin, you don't go around giving yourself as the perfect example. Look at me. I don't do this. I don't do this. I don't do this. You're bragging in the flesh. When you do that, it's wrong. But it's what He did. Praise God. I trust in Him. He works it in me. But it's not I that live. Paul said, it's Christ that liveth in me. And it's so important to understand because it's a glorious life. It's eternal life right now. Well, praise the Lord. And so when he said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, it was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He's not saying that God gave me a thorn in the flesh to keep me humble. He's not saying that. That's not what he's saying. Some people said, well, his thorn in the flesh, it was he's blind almost. Some say his thorn in the flesh was some sickness. Some people said his thorn in the flesh, he had to drag a leg when he walked. Can you believe that some old scholars, so-called, said that he was 4'6" tall with a hump back and a big crooked nose? Well, that'd be a pretty good thorn in the flesh, wouldn't it? But that's foolishness. That wasn't him. They devise all that stuff out of where he says, who in presence and base among you, and lowly among you, lowly the meek and lowly Jesus, beseech you by the meekness and lowliness of Christ, who in presence and base among you, and lowly among you, and so forth. He didn't present himself to be somebody great. He didn't come into a place and said, oh, listen to me. Had a couple allowed to come preach one time, and a man had recommended him to me, and oh, I regretted taking that recommendation. But they came in with a CD, a 20, 30 minute CD, said, before the service starts, I want you to play this CD so all the people, you know what to expect when we get up to minister. And I said, well, what's the CD about? Well, it's the things that God has done through us in the past, other places, and we wanted to hear that so they know what to expect. I said, no, I'm not going to play that thing. I said, if you have God, God will do it here. If you're not of God, He won't do it here. And just that blunt. And they regretted coming too. Praise God. But, I mean, they come along and say, hey, I heard one preacher get ready to pray for somebody. And first one person he prayed for, you know, after he preached, this is over at church, a friend of mine's in Baytown. And he said, now, you need to understand that most people I pray for fall down. And sometimes they don't get up for 30 minutes. He went on to talk about it. Everybody I pray for falls down. And then he starts praying for people. They don't need to hear that. If God's knocking them down, He can knock them down. He don't need suggestions. He don't need that. I heard the preacher that's famous for blowing on people. Saw him. Couple walking across the platform. He blew on them. They kept walking. He blew again. They kept walking. He said, open your eyes. They opened their eyes. He blew. They fell down. If God's doing it, they don't have to see that He's blowing. For God to do it, that's psychological. It's mass hypnosis. I speak that as a man of God who knows the reality of how God does work. Praise God. I've seen God knock them down. Not only a few times in this ministry, but others, but I've seen the fake and the phony that's been throughout this entire generation. Nevertheless, oh, I don't need to get off on those things. I've got somewhere I've got to get to this morning. But God didn't give him a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble. If God wanted him humble that way, He never would have given him the revelation. He didn't give him a revelation that would exalt him in the flesh. But He gave him a revelation that would exalt him in the Spirit of God. That would lift him up. And the devil sent what he called a thorn in the flesh. You say, preacher, how do you prove that? Read it for yourself. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. God didn't send him a messenger of Satan. Satan sent him a messenger to buffet him. To come into the church, a false apostle, false workers, deceitful workers, false teachers, to preach another gospel, to preach another Jesus, to bring another spirit, and to put the apostle down, to make him small in the eyes of the people, plus all the things he just told about. I was suffered, beaten with 39 stripes 5 times, beaten with rod 3 times, stoned in one place, shipwrecked, snake bit. Everything that a man can suffer for preaching the gospel, I've suffered it. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. Oh, this man had such a revelation in spite of all these things. When he and Silas, I believe it was, came into a certain city, they run to the City Hall said, those that have turned the world upside down are come here also. Oh, if he hadn't been driven out of city after city by the messengers of Satan, if he hadn't been beat with whips and stoned and left for dead, beat with rods and imprisoned, what would that man have done with the gospel of Christ, the simplicity of the gospel? But the messenger of Satan was there. Today it's not imprisonment. Today it's not throwing stones at you literally or beating you with whips or rods. It could come to that. But it's those messengers of Satan that deny it continually. Had one some time back said, why, that brother Surface is preaching doctrines of devils. He's saying that Christians aren't sinners. If that's not something to buffet a man of God and to turn people away from the message of the simplicity of Christ, I've never heard it. To call a gospel that would make you free a doctrine of devil, but a gospel that will lead you in sin, to die in sin, the truth of Christ, oh, how deceitful can you get? But he says, lest I should be exalted above measure by the revelation that sent me a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest before they run me out of the city, that city be won to Christ. You know, he fled from city to city because of the buffetings, because of his weakness. If it had stayed, they'd have killed him. He couldn't have stopped them from doing it. This is what he's saying. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord 3 times, that it might depart from me. Lord, if you'd stop the Jews from beating up on me, I could win many. I could win the cities with the gospel you've given me. If you'd just stop the Jews from hating me, if you'd stop them from throwing rocks at me, if you'd stop them from beating me with whips and rods, oh Lord, I could do so much more for you. And the Lord told him, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, my weaknesses. It's not sinfulness, people. It's weakness. It's human frailties. Oh, glory in my infirmities. And he's not glorying in sicknesses either. If I'm sick, I'm not going to brag about it. But if they cast my name out as evil, speak all manner of evil against me falsely, praise God, by the grace of God, I'm going to rejoice and leap for joy. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because I also know what it is for them to speak all manner of evil against you and it be true. When they do it falsely, I can rejoice. Thank God the other is almost 40 years ago. I want to make that clear. Praise God. But I can rejoice. Hallelujah. I can love my enemy. I can do that. You can love your enemy. You can do that. But oh, he's not going to put up with deceitful workers and false apostles that's bringing another Jesus and another gospel. He's not going to put up with it. It's his version of Jesus going into the temple with a whip to drive the money changers out. You've made my father's house a den of thieves. But he goes on. He says, I'll most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Hallelujah. They really don't know what they're doing when they're beating him. Because in his weakness, they're beating him. But in his weakness, they crucified Jesus. And he destroyed the devil. That he nailed sin to his cross. Hallelujah. I'll take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Why is that the case? Because he said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Go back to 1 Corinthians. We read that the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. And then, skip a verse. God hath chosen the foolish things of this world. Things doesn't belong there. He's chosen the foolish of the world to confound the wise, the weak to confound the mighty, and base of the world and the despised hath God chosen, and those which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should boast or brag in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. But according as is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Don't you notice some things? God has chosen the foolish. And Paul said that he was foolish. He acknowledged he was foolish in this boasting, in this bragging. He would be foolish to do so. The weak, he says, I'm weak. God has chosen the base, 2 Corinthians 10 and 1, who in presence am base among you. Yea, and things that are not despised, certainly he was despised, and things which are not to bring to naught the things that are. And he goes on then, he says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I'm become a fool in glorying or bragging, but you've compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Though I be nothing. And there's that God has chosen those that are not, that are nothing, to bring to nothing those which are. Now, what's the moral of this story? You can try to be somebody and you become a nothing. But you can be a nothing, and God can use you. God can use you. It's not those that He's abased that He can use, but it's those that humble themselves that He can use. Paul's view of himself, because he persecuted the church, is I'm the least of the apostles, not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. But the grace of God that was bestowed upon me was not in vain, for I outlabored them all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. And to me, am the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I might preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He counted himself to be the least of the saints, the least of the apostles. He counted himself to be weak. He counted himself to be base. He counted himself to be nothing, despised. He was despised. He counted himself to be nothing. But he knew that God had chosen the foolish, the weak, the despised, the base, and the nothings to change everything. Now, there's two things I want to close this message with. If you're lost, you don't have Jesus as your Savior, sin reigns in your heart. And it shows up in your lives, your actions, the things that you do. Don't try to come to God in righteousness. Come to Him in your sinfulness. You're a lost person. You're a sinner. Sin has polluted your nature, the things that you do. Don't try to change all that and then come to Him. That old song, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Praise God. So come to Him with all your sinfulness, because He's come to you to take it away. Hallelujah. To make you free, to deliver you out of that, and bring you into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's what it's about. Just as you are. Now then, to you that are saved, and I'll even say, have received the Holy Ghost, Spirit filled. I'd received the Holy Ghost 4 years before He called me to preach. In that vision in which He called me to preach, He pointed at me and said, you, give them to eat. And like the disciples with 5 loaves and 2 fishes said, we have nothing to give them to eat. So great a multitude. What do you have? 5 loaves and 2 fishes He said, bring it to me. And it fed the multitude after He blessed it and broke it. But He looked at me and said, you give them to eat. And I said, I have nothing to offer. And I began to plead my weaknesses. Just a country boy. I'm not educated. I've got a high school education. Haven't been to seminary. I don't know the Scriptures that well. I'm not eloquent. I can't speak. I'm bashful and backwards. And he said, bring it to me. He didn't say, go out and change all that. He didn't say, go out and learn how to be eloquent and graceful. He didn't say, go out and take a speech course to learn how to speak publicly. He didn't say, go out and go to a seminary and be taught the famous doctrines of orthodoxy and then come back to me. He said, bring me your weakness. Not your sinfulness, because I was a child of God. But bring me your weaknesses, your nothings. Bring them to me. The things that you think make you to be so foolish in the eyes of the people. Because maybe you don't pronounce your words just right, or maybe you have a slang, or maybe you do this, or maybe you do that. All the different things that can be brought up as to why I can't do it. I was preaching this message up in Arkansas, this part right here, and there was a woman there that was born with a speech impediment. You could hardly understand a word that she said. And yet, not intentionally, I probably would have stayed away from it if I'd have been aware, you know, of her presence right at that time. But nevertheless, to even that she should know that she's so hard to understand. But oh, when the Spirit of God fills a person, the Holy Ghost comes upon them. Oh, what communication there is just in the Spirit itself. To persuade and convince and to convict. Praise God. He said, when the Holy Ghost has come unto you, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. When the Holy Ghost has come unto you, He will. He will. And He told me, He said, bring your weaknesses to me. And we seek to bring our strength to Him. We seek to bring, oh God, I've got these talents. You know, if you'll just open a door before me, I can do great things for you. God can't use that person. He can't use that person that thinks, I've got this knowledge, I've got this eloquence, I know how to speak, I can move people. I can do it, oh God, if you just send me. But He can't choose that person. He cannot. But He'll choose those vessels that He will be glorified in. And I'll promise you, I don't think this morning there's a person in this place that thinks, well, boy, if I could just get up there, I could win the whole world. Well, jump out there and come to reality. You understand what I'm saying? A man came to me one time in a time of fasting and praying. And I was in an extended time of fasting and praying and seeking God. He came to me and he said, Brother, surface. And I was right here in the church praying. He interrupted my praying, seeking God. He said, shouldn't we just be out there preaching the gospel? This man sought the Holy Ghost several years, never had received it. He said, instead of waiting, shouldn't we just be going? I said, oh, if we go without the Spirit, it'll do no good. And he contended with me. Finally, I told him, I said, go, win the world, preach the gospel, bring them in. And the man couldn't do it. But he was trying to stop somebody that was seeking the only answer to do it. Praise God. We bring our weakness to Him. He can take our foolishness and destroy the wisdom of man because we're the children of God. He can take our weakness. He destroyed the devil with the weakness of Jesus. Not the strength, the weakness. Can you see that? He was crucified in weakness, through weakness. But He destroyed the devil. He took our sin away. Because the weakness of God is greater than the strength of man. And the strength of principalities and powers and devils and Satan. The weakness of God is greater. The foolishness of God greater than the wisdom of men. And so He chooses the nothings to tear down the somethings. To pull down the strongholds. Going back to that 10th chapter. He said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Not carnal. Our weapons are not personality. Our weapons are not eloquence. Our weapons are not the wisdom of man. Our weapons are not in those things. But our weapons are mighty through God. He's telling me and you, you Calvary Outreach, and you that are the children of God. Oh, if you'll just seek Him in your weakness and bring your weakness to Him. Do you understand? Your weakness. Don't think I can do it because you can't do it. But He can do it through you. Hallelujah. Somebody asked me the other day, where was God when His Son was on that cross accusing God? I said, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. Hallelujah. In His weakness on that cross, there was God. There was God! Hallelujah! In Christ! Praise God! The strength of God Almighty in His weakness. Somehow, I don't know that I'm getting through, but there's not a person in this place, saved or lost! If you're lost, if you believe the gospel and come to Jesus, receive Christ into your heart to be your life, the full surrender to Him to be your life, and then be filled with the Spirit and seek Him, that you can be one. You say, well, but I'm nothing. You're the one He's chosen. If that's your view of yourself, you say, everybody says, well, God can't because I'm this, I'm that. That's the reason He can. Can you see that? The thing that you say can't use me because of such as, that's the reason He can use you. Can you see that? That's the reason He can't. Oh, you say, well, He can't use me because I'm lost. No, He can't use you. You got to get saved. Well, He can't use me because, you know, I haven't received the Spirit. Well, receive the Spirit, dear child. Receive the Spirit. Praise God. If it's because I'm not eloquent, well, He can use you. If it's because I'm backwards, He can use you. Praise God. He'll get in that. He'll get in that. He'll work in you. Praise God. His strength made perfect in what you see as your weakness. And it is. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. So I say to you, bring your weakness. Child of God, I'm not saying sinfulness. Because it's all too often that weakness and sin are related to be the same thing. They're not. They're not. Bring your weakness to Him. And He said, like that loaves and fishes, I'll break it. I'll bless it. It was insufficient, but now then it's sufficient. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's stand. Hallelujah. They could beat Him with whips and rods through His weakness. But through His weakness, He is able to turn that world upside down. Hallelujah. The strength of God in His weakness. Praise God. Not His strength, but His weakness. Hallelujah. You're not too old. You're not too young. And I won't go into the other deficits that people think they have. But if you'll give it to Him, just give it to Him. God will use you. And through you, He'll pull down strongholds. and he'll cast down imaginations, and he will be glorified. Because they say, boy, it sure can't be him. I know him, her. They can't do that. It'll be Christ. It'll be Christ. Praise God. Lift up your hands to Him and worship Him. I want to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to bring your weakness. Just come up to the front, but you're bringing your weakness to Him. You're not coming because you think you've got so much to offer, if He could only see it. But you're bringing your weakness to Him. Just bring it to Him. To receive His strength. To receive His grace. Praise God. To be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Scripture tells us if any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing as he ought to know. We think we're something. Then that's not something that God can use. But He be made perfect in our weakness. His strength. I don't believe they knew what they were doing when they beat Paul with whips and rods any more than they knew what they were doing when they were crucifying the Son of God. Something was happening in His weakness, and He gave Himself to it to go forward and preach that gospel. Hallelujah. There's a scripture that says the same thing, but I've never understood it. But I know there's a secret in the weak and the base and the nothings. There's a secret for reaching this world. And it's not in the strong and the mighty and the powerful and the eloquent. It's in the weak, the foolish, and the base, and the nothing. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Sacrifice sent from on high. What every lamb had never done was
healed. You're bringing your weakness to Him. Hallelujah. Leave it with Him. Hallelujah. And ask Him to anoint you. Have His way, His will in you. Wonderful Savior, wonderful Savior. Glory, 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 glory.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Precious Savior, precious Savior. Anyone need special prayer this morning? Thank you, Jesus. I perceive that God has dealt deeply in the hearts of some this morning. Praise God. If His strength is made perfect in weakness, then you can go. You can go. Praise God. He'll be with you. He'll be with you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Precious Savior, precious Savior. Pain in the ears, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask you for healing in the name of Jesus. And I rebuke the pain and infection or whatever is the root of it. I command every symptom of it to leave her body in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Precious Savior, precious Savior.